Do you need help? How many of you say, yeah, sometimes I need help? How many of you know somebody that you say they need some help, you're right? Sure. Now, I am not talking about I want help. I'm not talking about I could use a little help. I'm talking about I need help. I'm talking about if I don't get some help, I can't do it. It can't be done. I'm talking about I need help. Do you ever need help? We're in a series entitled Experiencing the Holy Spirit. And in this series, we've considered Happy Birthday, Born of the Spirit, in the first message in it. The second message, we've asked, what's new? We've learned about the work of the Holy Spirit. Today, I'm going to preach to you on this subject, Help Needed, the necessity of the Holy Spirit. You see, there are seven ways that you need the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about I want help. I'm not talking about I could use help, a little bit of help. I am talking about I need help. I'm talking about unless I get some help, it can't be done and I can't do it. I am talking about I need help. And what you'll find is that there are some ways in which you need help that you can never do without the supernatural enabling and power of the Holy Spirit. And so today I'm going to preach to you about this subject. What are ways that you need help? And what's wonderful is that the God who knows we need help is the God who has given us of His Spirit to give us the help we need. And today, let's pray that God would show us our need and bring us to the point where we're willing to surrender to His help. Let's pray, all right? So, Lord, we come to You in the name of Jesus with this wonderful encouragement that You're a God who gives us help. And it's not just for our convenience. It is a necessity. And thank You that You're a God that reaches out and doesn't leave us alone, but gives us all the help we need. And we ask today that Your Spirit would even do this work of showing us our need and bringing us to a point of brokenness to receive the help that only You can give. And so it is, as the preacher, I ask this for myself, even to preach, and as a hearer of the preached word gathered with all of us as hearers of the word as it's preached, we pray, O God, that You would do this supernatural work. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's talk about the ways that you need the Holy Spirit. Here's the first. If you're taking notes, I'll make it very clear for you so you can write this down. The first is this: you need the Holy Spirit to be saved. You need the Holy Spirit to be saved. There was a man that came to Jesus one night to ask about eternity, about eternal life in heaven. His name was Nicodemus, and he had an interview with Jesus. And I'll have you turn with me to where this interview occurs, John chapter 3. Earlier in this series, we took an extended handling of this portion of Scripture. But when Nicodemus comes to ask Jesus about eternal life in heaven and how he could be ready for eternity, he has an interview with Jesus about salvation. And here's how Jesus answers, chapter 3, verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," that's physical birth, "and of the Spirit," spiritual birth, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now in this interview, God tells us about the ingredients that bring about your salvation. So anyone that ever comes to Christ and has his new spiritual life, born again of the Spirit of God, these ingredients always come together. The first is the Word of God. So that Jesus says, I say unto you, Jesus is speaking, and as God is speaking, he is speaking what will one day be recorded as the written word of God. So God the Spirit works in our life to bring us to Christ. He always uses the word of God, and then God always uses the Spirit of God. Listen to what the scriptures say. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, you probably are familiar with this. You may be familiar with it. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God in conjunction with the Spirit of God. So Jesus says in verse 8 of this passage of scripture, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Now here's the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So what God does is God works wonderfully and providentially and powerfully, bringing the ingredients of his word and his Spirit together to speak to individuals like you and individuals like me at different times in our lives, drawing us to himself. And he is doing this work so that you can once and for all be saved. The Spirit of God working through the Word of God. Now, that's what God does. But let's talk and meet, or let's meet some people who are real live people that experience this. Go with me from the third chapter of the book of John to the New Testament epistle or letter of 1 Thessalonians. And you want to find the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I'll begin reading in verse 5, because we are told this, for our gospel, Paul writes to these believers in the church of Thessalonica, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Do you see the word and the Holy Spirit? And in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Verse 9 says, for they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. So the Holy Spirit of God works using the word, and God brings it into the life of an individual. But wait a minute, God has done all that he can do, and yet there has to be a response on the individual. And these people, when God sent the Apostle Paul to their city and he proclaimed to them that Jesus died and rose again for them as God, the eternal Son, who came out of the grave alive and gives the only hope of eternal life, do you see what happened to them? Here are people that served idols. They were idolaters, and yet you'll notice verse 9 that these individuals, when the word and the Spirit came into their lives and God dealt with them, they turned from idols to serve the living and the true God. This is what is described as repentance and faith. To turn away from sin, to turn away from everything I'm trusting in, my goodness, my religiousness, my philosophy, my whatever it is, you're trusting and relying on whatever it is, and you turn from it and you trust Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. Can I illustrate to you this way? Imagine a coin. I think I have Thomas Jefferson in my pocket. I did. I had Thomas Jefferson. That's a job to get Thomas Jefferson in your pocket, unless he's on a coin, and I happen to have a nickel. Now, in early service, I was cheap. I had a penny. So here's Thomas Jefferson, and on this coin, there's Thomas Jefferson on one side, great American, and then on the other side, there's a building, and it says United States of America and all that. Now, here's what I want you to know. This coin has two sides. It's one coin, but it has two sides. And do you know repentance and faith are just that way? You must repent and believe on Jesus to be saved. But you don't divorce the two. They are one. And the moment you turn from your sin and trust Christ, you are then born again. And so it is the moment that you come to Christ. That's what happens. You turn and you trust Christ. And without both of those, my friend, you cannot be saved. Would you like a nickel? Early service kids got a penny. You're making money. Just come to church, huh? Yeah. All right. Very good. Very good. Jesus was preaching, and he goes out on a preaching tour. You read about it in Mark chapter 1. And Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he calls those in his day to turn from their sin and believe on him to be saved. And do you know, Jesus is still working. He's working through his church. He's working through all the ways the gospel is proclaimed. But Jesus is still, through the Spirit of God and the Word of God and a witness about the Lord Jesus, he is still preaching to individuals as God the Spirit works in your life. That I must repent and believe the gospel. Jesus said this in the 13th chapter of Luke. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You cannot be saved unless the Holy Spirit works in your life. So God in his care and love sends the word, the work of the Spirit, and brings you to a point where you have a decision to make. Will I repent and believe on Jesus Christ to be saved by faith alone? And you know that's where you are maybe today. God in his wonderful goodness is dealing with you so that you can be saved. You need the Holy Spirit to be saved. So I'm going to ask you, are you saved? And if you're not, why not? What's holding you back? Oh, how God in grace is reaching out to you to be saved. Well, you need the Holy Spirit to be saved. Then there's another way you need the Holy Spirit. Beside you needing the Holy Spirit to be saved, you need the Holy Spirit to have assurance of salvation. You need the Holy Spirit to have assurance of salvation. Maybe you've asked yourself this question: can I have assurance? Can I know that I know that I know? Can I have such absolute confidence that I absolutely know that I know that I know that I'm saved? Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How can I know that I know? It is in part a work of the Holy Spirit. So here's God's answer to the question that you've asked: can I really know? And God's answer is absolutely, you can know. Well, how can I know? Well, assurance of salvation must be first based in the testimony of the Word of God. So go with me in your Bible to the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. God addresses the question, how can you know? In this letter, 1 John chapter 5, you'll want to find verse 11 of this chapter. And this is the record. God has written it down. His written record of his revelation, of his truth. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. How can I have eternal life? Well, this life is in his Son. Your eternal life is determined on your relationship to the Son of God. John continues to write, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You're either a have or a have not. And then John tells us this in verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. People who had put their trust in Christ, but they're having a doubt and they're wondering, am I really saved? Maybe they thought I was so young. Maybe they just felt so defeated. Maybe they just didn't feel saved. Do I really know? These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what, church? Know that ye have eternal life, and that this life is in his Son. How can you have the assurance? You have to trust the testimony of the Word of God. You can't trust your feelings. How many of you know in life you're in trouble if you trust your feelings? Now, you didn't come to early service today, but how many of you think that the people that made it to early service that started at 8:15, how many of you think when they got up at the time they had to get up to make it here on time felt like they were saved at that early morning on a Sunday morning? You probably will feel more saved than they did if you're saved. Now, Sunday night, they might feel more saved than you because they can have time for a long afternoon nap when they come back to church tonight. They'll be refreshed. You might be dragging a little bit. Yeah, you can't trust your feelings. Oh, my. They change? Boy, as long as you're trusting your feelings, and when I feel saved, I must be saved. I don't feel saved. Did I lose my salvation? Am I really saved? You'll never know that you're saved if you trust your feelings. How many of you know what it is when you've gone through that in your battle? And so many of our people in their spiritual journey have shared that with me, that they had made a profession of faith in Christ, and yet they struggled with whether they were really sure they were saved or not. You know what I'm talking about? How do you know? Well, you have to trust the testimony of the Word of God. Have I put my trust in Christ or not? Yes or no? And when you begin to trust what God says about it rather than what you feel about it in your emotions, you will find that God will help bring assurance to you. But it is not just trusting and finding your assurance in the testimony of the Word of God. This assurance is also found in a confirmation by the testimony of the Holy Spirit of God. So you're in chapter 5 of 1 John. Probably for your Bible it'll be across the page, or maybe flip back a page to chapter 4 and verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Now look at chapter 3, verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Do you realize that one of the wonderful works of the Holy Spirit is he takes the testimony of the Word of God and he brings his work in your life and he confirms with you that you are indeed Christ's? And I don't know if I can exactly explain it, this work of the Holy Spirit. I can't do it, but I do know this. I know it because God says it's so, and I know it because I have experienced it, that it is not resting in me, but there's something that God does that is a supernatural work that brings absolute confidence and assurance that because of Christ, I am his child. Oh, if you know what it is to live in doubt and fear and question, you know the joy. You know the joy and the freedom and the power when God the Spirit, and trusting in his Word, brings this confirmation. I am one of his. No fear. No doubt. And today, if you're a person who is living in this fear and you're living in doubt, and you say, I don't know that I know that I know that I know, but I want to know that I know that I know. You can get it settled today. There's people available to help you and guide you, and the Spirit of God will help you. What a day of liberation for you. But Paul does write to a group of professed believers, the church at Corinth, and he reminds them, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, because you can profess him and not possess him. And as a preacher of the word, I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm not trying to do anything to bring guilt or bring you to doubt of salvation. But I am telling you this. I am trying to share with you the truth of the word of God and ask that God the Spirit would bring you to a point where if you truly are not saved, he makes it so clear that you can repent and believe on Christ. And if you're questioning, that you can come to a point that you can know with confidence by the word and the Spirit that you are one of his. You cannot, you need the Holy Spirit to be saved. You need the Holy Spirit to have assurance. Third, you need the Holy Spirit to be changed. You need the Holy Spirit to be changed. I'm going to have you turn with me to the Book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. This portion of scripture really begins in chapter 5 verse 19 through verse 21. And there is a contrast to a transformed life. We won't read it or address it this morning because it's really not the direction of this sermon, but it describes what is called the works of the flesh. This is what happens when a person without any restraint just lets their selfish nature, their flesh, just go rampant and run crazy. It's what happens in a person's life. It's what happens in a society. So there's a contrast to the transformed life. But in this passage, our focus today is the characteristics of a transformed life. What are the changes that the Holy Spirit can make in a person's life? Who is the person that the Holy Spirit of God can make you and to make me? Well, we read Galatians chapter 5, you want to note verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you want to talk about some beautiful fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is beautiful fruit. It describes what the Spirit of God does when he controls your life. And in this list, there are 9 characteristics and 3 categories. There are 3 characteristics in each of the 3 categories. Let me just briefly touch them with you. The first category is what God the Spirit produces in me. And so we read verse 22, God the Spirit produces love, joy, and peace. How many of us could say, boy, I need some of that, some love, some joy, some peace. Could you use some of that? Hey, that's what God the Spirit can do in your life. There's another characteristic, and it is what God the Spirit does as I deal with the people and circumstances around me. And when you read this, you'll read about long suffering and gentleness and goodness, responding by doing good. Now, how many of you know with the circumstances and the people around you in your life, sometimes you need some gentleness, goodness, and long-suffering? How many of you know we need some of that? Hey, that's something God the Spirit can do. Then there's a third category you'll notice, and this is what God the Spirit does for me. And we read in verse 22 and then verse 23, the next quality is faith. That is both resolve to believe God and the result of faithfulness that God does when I trust him. He produces faithfulness in me. Meekness, my strengths under God's control. intemperance, my emotions, thoughts, desires, and actions and reactions under his control. How many of you know that some of us need faith and meekness and temperance, right? Yeah. You see, these are characteristics that God produces. And you say, well, then I have to ask this question. Maybe you ask the question that I'm asking. Is this just a grocery list of dreams, or can this be reality? Is this real spiritual produce? Are these real characteristics that God produces in your life? And I tell you that this can and should be a reality. But this only becomes a reality when you understand the key to a transformed life. Because I think everybody is like, boy, I'd love to have, I need joy, peace. Yeah, that person I work with, woo, some long suffering. I need a big dose of it. And you go, boy, I could sure use that. Here's the key. You'll notice again, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. See, I'm not talking about, well, I'm just trying harder. I'm glad you're trying harder, but that's not what does it. I'm not talking about just doing better or knowing better. I'm glad you're doing better, and I'm glad you know better. But wait a minute. What I'm telling you is this is something that only God the Spirit can do. And so what happens is when you yield to the Spirit of God, he begins to change you, and he begins to produce this fruit in your life. Sometimes the steps are very small and even imperceptible at times. But as you yield to the Spirit of God and he's dealing with your heart, he transforms you little by little, victory by victory, failing and getting up again by getting up again. And he does this. And here's how you know that God is changing your life. You know, because there's that person you know that is really hard to love. How many of you have know what I'm talking about? There's some people that are just hard to love. How many of you are that person that's hard to love? Just be honest with you. Ask somebody who knows you. They might even tell you if you're that person. In love, of course, they would tell you in love. Yeah. And normally the way I'd respond to that person, but now just something went, and God helped you to do the really loving thing. You say, wow, that's not how it used to be. Maybe there's the person that, boy, they really are hard to work with, and they really frustrate you, and they irritate you and aggravate you, and every word I can think of that really gets your goat, gets under your skin, drives you crazy, puts you up the wall, flips your switch, turns your crank, whatever it is. And normally when they did something like this, that thing that really irritates you, when she does it or he does it, you're going to bite their head off. Or maybe you're just going to nip at them with a sarcastic remark. If you had your way, you'd bite their head off. And that's how you normally respond. But wait a minute. God helps you because I don't respond the way I did. That's temperance. That's a work of the Spirit. And so you look for times when God calls you to believe him. And as he calls you to believe him, and you say, I can't believe, that's just, wait a minute. When you yield, he helps you to take that next step of faith. That's a sign that God the Spirit is transforming your life. Go through every one of those characteristics and the desire that you have in your heart because God is working in your life and this is the person he wants you to become. And I'm telling you that if you will learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, he will in time produce that fruit in your life. But it's not me. It's not you. It is God the Spirit doing this work of changing you. Now, we will consider the other ways that the Spirit, that we need the Spirit the next time we're together. But for now, there's some help needed. There is some help needed. And oh, you need the Spirit to be saved. God the Spirit is bringing His Word into your life. And today, you have a choice. You're a young person, you're a man, you're a woman. God has brought you to this place that you know you are without Christ. You will perish. You are spiritually lost. And today, God the Spirit supernaturally brings you to this point. Today, He is calling you to repent and believe on Jesus Christ and be saved by faith today. In a minute, we'll have a time for you to respond. Don't wait. You just step from where you are. We have people waiting. Join us here, and someone will open the Bible and lead you to Jesus Christ. Today, you need the Spirit to have assurance. Do you know that you know that you know? And if you don't know that you know that you know, I am so glad to tell you, you don't have to live in fear and doubt any longer. Today, I'm going to invite you to come talk with somebody who take the Bible and open the truth and help you to know that you know that you know as God the Spirit does that supernatural work of assurance. And it may be that you need to be changed. That's true for all of us. And the Spirit of God, in a very specific and real way, is addressing your heart and areas that He wants to change. And you might have tried and tried and almost given up. So, well, that's just the way I am. There's no hope, but I'm going to, don't give up, don't give up. And you have to give up on your own defeat. You have to give up on your own power, but don't give up, because as you learn to yield to the Holy Spirit of God, there's a supernatural work that He'll do. And He can and will change you. You need the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me, please? As you stand, bowing our heads, and we're going to pray and talk to the Lord about the very things that He is talking to us about this morning. So, Lord God, You are a God that it is Your merciful nature in love to reach out to us, to individual people. And today is a day that You are speaking to individual people. You know the need. You know what You are doing. That individual, that young person, that adult man, that woman, is very aware that You are speaking. In fact, Lord, we say this and we ask it in faith because we are confident in You. That one that is not yet saved and needs to be, You can do it. The one that is struggling with assurance, You can give that, Lord. That one that wants You to change her life, You can do it by Your Spirit's power. And what I'm asking then is that today, while You are speaking and while You are drawing people, that wherever that individual is, that today would be the day that that individual responds and takes that next step in their journey of the work that only You can do. So, God, I'm praying for You to do this. Now, before I'm done praying about this, where are you? Are you saved? Forever aware and confident that you have been forgiven and have eternal life? Jesus died and rose again for you. He's working in your life through the Spirit to bring you to that point. Do you have assurance? Oh, you can know. Does God the Spirit want to change your life? Today is that point of yieldedness. And so, Lord, there's an opportunity for people to experience your Spirit's working in their life. And so I pray that today, now, you would, as you're working, individuals would then respond to you so that they will know only what you can do. Not just something they read about, but something that that individual experiences. So we'll leave it for you and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your heads are bowed. This is the time for you to respond. You say, I need to be saved. I want to know for sure that I have assurance that I'm saved. You come on and we'll have one of our men with men, ladies with ladies, and they'll share this with you and direct you to the Bible and help you and guide you as you're understanding and taking this understanding of the Bible. It may be that you want someone to pray with you about some things. There's an opportunity for you. These front steps, these front chairs are available for you. If you will look this way, before Pastor Alexander gives some announcements, let me give you three book recommendations that just were put in the bookstore. One is Every Man's Battle, and it's Every Man's Guide.